faith will never not be faith. I'm going to say that again. Faith will never not be faith. And Jesus said, God said, hallelujah. In Romans 3:17, the just shall live by faith. And we ask the question, who are the just? That have to be who? Us. We are. And so we have been talking about, I want you to listen tonight. Because when things start happening, Satan wants, I'm not going to magnify him, I just want to bring out a point. He wants to get your attention, get your thinking, get you in the natural, get you thinking about these things. But you got to remember, God gave us a promise. I'm going to read them real quick, just one or two of them. And God is faithful to keep his promise. You don't have to be concerned about things that happen or may happen. Listen, I'm standing here preaching to you. And one day, you're not going to see me standing here. Because he said it's appointed unto man who wants to do what? And after that, the judgment. What I want to do is make sure I do what I'm supposed to do while I'm living. Because that coming day, Jimmy Jones not going to be standing here. But I ain't going nowhere today and tomorrow. Do you hear me? Amen. And so sometimes Satan will try to use that against us because some people die. You know, our brother-in-law, they're going to funeralize him tomorrow. Other things happen. But listen what give me Psalm 91, verses 14, 15, and 16. Psalm 91. Give it to me in the King James. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. What we're talking about, a faith that won't waver. How do you get to that place where your faith won't waver? What did I say for the first thing? There will never be a time that faith is what? Not faith. Amen. Amen. There will never be a time that faith is what? Not faith. Because that's who God is, and that's what he used to create everything you see and don't see. And then he said, every one of us to live, we ought to live by faith. We are his children. That's the way we live. All right? He said, because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he's known my name. This is God talking. All right? He shall call upon me. What did the Lord say? He shall call upon me and what? What did he say? I will answer him. I will be with him when? I will be with him. This is God talking, y'all. Now, I'm going to give you another verse when I finish this one. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. What else will he do? Not only will he be with us in trouble, he will do what? Deliver him. And what else? Honor him. See, Satan wants you to think, you know, when you go through trouble, you're supposed to come out with your head tucked. If you come out, you're supposed to have your head tucked down. No, when I'm in trouble, I got my head up. Amen. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Because I know he is with me.
Yes.
If God is with me, he's with me. He's more than who? He's more, not just as a valley above. He's more than the whole world against me.
Yes, sir.
And then he said, with what? Long life will I satisfy him and do what? Show him my salvation. What will he show him? Showing my salvation. What is God's salvation? That means he will deliver you from anything and everything that will hurt you or harm you anything, any kind of stuff that's out there. God has provided salvation for you to be free from it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So glory to God. So what is it for us to be afraid of? Keep our eyes on him so we don't have to be, we won't have to be looking at those things, trying to figure out. He already had it made.
Amen.
Jesus came here and fixed it. He came here, he conquered who was giving you trouble. He came here and delivered you from the one that had you in bondage.
Yes, sir.
And Satan cannot hold a believer who knows who they are in bondage.
Amen.
Amen. You stand your ground till it manifests. What did I say last week, the other week, that like the little boy? You play, when you go to play the game with him, and they say three strikes you out, and he get up there to the bat, and he miss it three times. Say, you out? He said, no. You keep throwing it. I ain't going to play with you. If you don't want to play by my rules, I take my bat and ball and I go home.
Hallelujah.
So we're talking about a complete salvation, but it doesn't work. How can you enforce a rule you don't know? All right. I'm going to say it again. How can you act on a truth you don't know? But when you know what the rules are, Satan lost. I win. I got the victory. I'm not starting out with you trying to get the victory, Satan. I got it. It's already been given to me. Now I'm going to enforce it when you try to act out of line. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now let's go back to verse 13 and 14 one more time. Back it up. Because I want you to get this. Sometimes we go through things and read it, but we don't quite get it. Because he set his love upon me. This is God talking. Have you set your love upon the Father God? Do you really love him? Do you really love him? Because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him? I set him on high because he know my name. Verse 15, he shall do what? Call upon me. And I will. What did he say? What did he say? Didn't say I'll think about it. He didn't say it's a chance I might listen to you. He said, I will answer him. I will answer him. No wonder John 4:4 says, you of God, little children, have overcome them because what? Greater is he that's what? In you, in me, than he that is in the world. Because I will be with him. I'll be with him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I will deliver him and honor him.
Yes, sir.
I will deliver him and honor him. This is how you overcome wavering faith. If your faith is wavering and when pressure's on, I know, it comes to your mind. What if? And you don't entertain that if. You cast it down. Hallelujah. There's no if in God. God said it. And here's how you overcome. You have to stay with it until that word or talk louder than the fear. Now look at another promise, Numbers 23:19. Look at this one. We've been over it, but this is how we get it. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie. Who is God? He's not a man. Now men will lie. Have you noticed that? Yeah. I don't know if I need to say that. You ever been to a car dealer before? Hey, they wouldn't appreciate that they hear this tape. But men, haven't you lied before? Mm-hmm. I have to say, mm-hmm. I sure lied before. and tried to make that lie sound like it was the truth too. But who is God? God is not a man that he should lie. Neither who? The Son of Man that he should repent. God don't have to repent. Shall not repent. Has he said? What had God said? I will never leave thee. Call unto me. I will answer thee. Yes. Who said that? With long life will I satisfy thee. Who said that? Who said that? And so I will show you how. See what you do. You go and find out what God has said, because you find people pick up something somebody else said. We have this famous saying. People, too many believers have this thing. When stuff get bad in the nation, God's in control. No, he's not. God ain't doing that. God, he doesn't do stuff like that. Now, he brings judgment. He'll correct you, but he's not the one that go around killing folks, putting disease on folks, trying to teach them something. Why in the world you think it took time to give us this? And seal it in blood. Then he's going to take another way and teach me that I don't understand. And I can't find his voice in it. But he's doing it so he can teach me, humble me. You see how men are mess up stuff? But God is not a man that he should lie. Son of man, that he should repent. Has he said? What did God say? But my God shall supply. How many? All of your needs. According to his riches and glory. By Christ Jesus. No, he never said a thing about according to what's on the earth, according to what you know. He said, according to his riches. Do you think he kind of rich? Do you think God may be kind of sort of rich? I don't really know if the word describes the riches of God by saying he's rich. Because God has unlimited ability to do anything and everything that God can do. Listen to the words coming out of my mouth. There are no limits on God. Now here's the part that blesses us. Where he wants us to get a hold to. You and I, through the new birth, have been joined to him through Jesus Christ. And you have every right to everything God is, everything he has, and everything he can do. I know that's too way out there. But how do you get to that place? You have to give your attention to the word and what he has said. Not what you feel, not what somebody else is saying, not what's happening around you. You have to learn how to put things in its proper perspective when it comes to walking with God. Did y'all hear what I said? When people start dying, we start getting all upset. You're gonna die. But that's not really all is happening when a saint die, Paul said it's far better. See, it's better for you that I stay, but it'd be better for me if I leave. I'm going to say that again. It's better for you that Jimmy Jones stay, but it'd be better for Jimmy Jones to leave. It'll be better. Do you hear what I'm saying? But when we don't understand that, and when we see stuff like this happening, and especially when it get close to home, we just fall, we kind of fall apart. But we don't need to be doing that. We need to know. That's all right, my brother, sister, they're going to be with the Lord. And we just fall apart. I never tell anybody not to cry. Are y'all listening to me?
Yes.
I never tell anybody not to cry. But when you get to crying, you just stay in faith. All is well. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, let me finish this verse. The Son of Man, that he should not repent. Has he said, shall he not do it? Has he spoken? And shall he not make it good? How many things you found God has spoken in his word? And you can go in and point out there and say, yeah, see that God said that, but he lied. How many, can anybody in here come up with that? If you do, I'll show you where you lied. because God cannot lie. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
So your faith won't fail you if you build, if you put it in the right place. All right? Let me read James. Give me James. Let me read the text again. James 1:6. King James. Let's read it again. Listen to, this is a text we start out. How do we get past unwavering faith? How do we get to the place, where our faith won't waver? Now, he said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like the waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. You ever see a strong wind blow? I've seen it come swoop, and then that wind will swoop, and you know what those waves will do? They'll swoop, they're going the same way the wind. They were going this way when that wind swirled and turned. But see, when your faith is like that, when you're feeling good and you shouting, you cutting your step, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. God is so good. You walk out that door and you get a phone call or you get to the house, there's a bills. You ain't got money to pay for it in your purse or in your account. And your faith goes through. That's wavering faith. All you do, look at that bill, say, you paid. I don't care what you look like. Hello, somebody.
Hello.
Did you hear what I said? You look at that bill. So, because God already have said he will supply all my need. I don't have a need that he hadn't supplied.
Amen.
And just because I don't see the money, I don't see how I'm going to do it with my natural eye, but I know how I'm going to do it in my heart. And so I'm going to speak out of my heart and say, Bill, you pay. I don't care what size you are and what you look like. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
But if you don't put that word in abundance, where that word will have more to say out of your mouth from your heart than what your eyes are seeing speaking with your mouth. See, your mouth will start speaking what you see. Because most believer got their tongue hooked up to their mind and their flesh. And they call this mental access. I agree with the word that it's right, but when trouble comes, I start speaking the problem. You know what I'm saying then? I'm saying, God, this problem is bigger than you. And when you don't have the word to illuminate your faith and have your faith to the level where it stands strong, that problem is bigger than God in your eyes. Ooh. But until you look at that word, say, God said this, and I'm not moved by feeling, you just might as well shut up. Mind, you might as well be quiet. I cast you down. Thoughts coming, telling what did 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, really. Casting down what imagination, I'll turn that in a minute. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, let me finish this. It said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Right? Verse 8. A who? A double mind. See, you can't, you gotta get rid of the double mind. And that's why we're talking, showing this to you, because trouble gonna show up. Need's gonna show up. You're gonna run into a situation. Your mind not going to know how to answer that problem. Are y'all listening to me?
Yes, sir.
But when you're full of the word, you're not moved by it because you know God said, I'll supply your need. There's nothing that he hadn't done. There's nothing lacking to a child of God who believe God. So I start saying to that problem the answer. I start speaking the word. I'm healed. But the pain say you sick. The bills say you don't have the money to pay for. But I speak the word, say you paid. I just obeyed God. He told me to give this amount. And I just sold my seed. Lord, go minister to angels and get my money. I claim that. That's mine. Can I tell y'all something here? Can I tell you something? Do you not know all the resources in this earth? You hear unsaved people, big time people, got all the millions and billions of dollars. Don't you know that were put in the earth for us, not them? Satan then stole it from us. He's a clever dude. And make you feel like a little old peon, unqualified, too ignorant, too insecure. And you just have to scrounge around and do the best you can. When in fact, it belongs to us. The resources, the earth were not created for Satan. Nor his followers. And I love what Bill Winston said. Boy, he's on it, and I'm on it too. Ooh, we it's time for us to get our stuff. That's where the wisdom of God comes in. And so we're thinking about. When it comes to those things, we start thinking and acting like natural people. But we got to realize that we got supernatural help. And God can supernaturally do with you and through you if you yield to him. Just because something not working, that don't mean it won't work. I'm going to say this again. Just because something is not working, that don't mean it's not workable. It may mean you don't know how to do it. But God has given you a great teacher. If you spend time with him and do what he says and stop arguing with him. Boy, I argue with the Lord. Listen, I argue with the Lord with some stuff that I had. And at one time, I was kind of wanting to blame him. But I had more sense than that. God, you didn't make no dummy. How many of you feel like a dummy? Guess where they come from? God didn't make you a dummy. You are so wise. You got knowledge and health, and you got knowledge and health and strength and blessing and goodness and kindness and ability. You got ability beyond your thinking. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Hallelujah. When you become single-minded, when you become get the mindset that what God has said outweighs anything, everything anybody else said. I'm gonna reach a couple things, and we're gonna move it down through here. I knew you're gonna do it. Thank you, Lord, for it. Give me Colossians chapter 2, that man. I think it is. And verse 4. Colossians 2:4. I think I'm right. And this I say, here we go. Do you got your listening ears on? This I say, lest any man should do what? You know how somebody beguile you, take the advantage of you, and tell you something that's not true, and make you believe that you're true, make you believe that it's true. He said, lest any man should beguile you with how? What kind of words? They sound good, they're enticing, but they're just full of junk as they can be. They're just as untrue as they ever could be. They're not true. All right, give me the next verse. For though I be absent in flesh, see, this is Paul writing this letter to the Colossians church. Though I be what? Absent in flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order. I know what's going on because I'm in the spirit. The spirit is talking. And beholding your order. And what else? The steadfastness of your faith. How steadfast is your faith? What are you going to do when trouble comes? What are you going to do when something all of a sudden, let me use myself for an example. I didn't plan to have no blood disorder. And there was no thought in my mind that was going to pop up. And my wife and the doctor said to me, but I didn't get to thinking too much like that. They were thinking, boy, this man about to leave here. That's what they were thinking. I wasn't thinking like that. But it popped up, and I wasn't expecting. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm going to hold fast to the steadfastness of my faith without wavering. I'm not going to join the ways of the sea. And he said, beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. All right, let's keep going. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, do what? So walk you in him. Walk it out. Stand your ground. Hallelujah. Keep going. Hallelujah. Keep going. I'm going somewhere. Rooted and built up in him. Gotta stop wavering faith, y'all. Rooted and built up in him. And what else? Established in the faith. As you have been taught. As ye have been what? Taught. That's what I'm doing here, telling you now. Don't you let nothing make your faith waver. How do you get to that place? You take God at his word. I just told you, God is not a man that he should lie, neither son of man that he should repent. Has he said? Won't he do it? Has he spoken? Won't he make it good? That's what you take in. So when these things come, I'm not wavering. God can't lie to me. Ooh, glory to God. God can't and God won't lie to me. I satisfy you in long life, Jimmy. I satisfy you in long life. Yes, sir. Landris, Ruta, and all of you. He can't lie to you. So the symptom that you have is lying. That's who lying, not God. And if you fall up, it will take you out. But if you're rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein, how? With thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, I'm healthy. Thank you, Lord, I live long. Thank you, Lord, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. That's how you do it. And he's trying to take you out, but you know what he said is a lie. And he's trying to get you to take your attention off what God has said and what you have heard and start believing a lie.
Yes, sir.
And God is still not a man that he should lie. Now watch this. Ooh, this is so good. Lord, you knew what you were doing when you told me to go this way. I didn't know it, but I'm following you. Hallelujah. Amen. Give me verse 8. Now look at this now. Because beware, do what? Beware, lest any man do what? Spoils you through what? Boy, you can get through philosophy to all they can have it laid out and sounding so good. Through philosophy and vain deceit. After who? The tradition of men. After what else? The rudiment of the world and not after Christ. And that's what they want to do. That's why you got so many religious folks. Talk when you say God is my healer, they look at you like you're falling out the sky. No, God don't heal. You got people standing before people preaching that to them, and they sitting there sucking it up. Man, I'll be out the door. I ain't sitting up here and listening to it. When I read the word, and the Lord said, I am the Lord that heals thee. I am the Lord. I change this not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And I'm going to sit there and listen to that. I'm like that girl told David, and it's her house caught on fire, and she said, and she rushed back there, and you get it put out. She said, ain't nobody got time for that. Oh, we ain't got time. You ain't got time for this kind of trash. Because that's what it is. And he's sitting there telling you that you can't handle money. You can't handle success. You too dumb. You too. That's what he's trying to tell you. When if you were too dumb, why did God choose you and give it, made it available for you to get it? Because he's going to give you the ability and the wisdom and all the contact and everything you need how to get it. That's why you can't sit there and feel sorry for yourself and look stupid. And I'm not trying to put anybody down, but I want you to get the point. I'm going to be honest. And look like we built it too small. He told me I was too dumb to do what I believed God told me to do. I just believed God. Y'all join in with me. And he told us we were too dumb. We're sitting up in here looking at you, looking at me, and I'm looking at you. You see those beautiful screens up there? You see all, do you see all these chairs sitting in here? But he said, you're too dumb, too far out in the country. Who's lying? Come on now, y'all talk. Who's lying? Well, why would, if he lied about that, guess what? When he tell you, you can't have that house, you can't have that car, you can't do that, you can't work on that job, you too dumb, you can't believe God, you can't stand, you don't have the ability to stand up and speak and love people. When he start telling you what you can't do, you start doing it and showing that you can.
Amen.
He start telling you that you can't live holy. You got to slop around and mess around and filly-dilly around and act like something ain't no good. You tell him, no, you just watch. Because God told me to live holy. And that's how I live. Are y'all listening to me? See, what people think holy living is had to do with some kind of way you dress. If you got an incense, you cover yourself. It's just that simple. Why you want to go out naked and you know it ain't right? And you know it's not proper. How many of y'all think it's proper I stand up here and pull all of my clothes off in front of you? They'd be saying, what kind of church is that? And what, and that fella call himself a pastor? See, that's just common sense. But it's supposed to be style, you know, to get naked. And so young people and everybody, when Satan start talking this crazy talk, and you know it ain't, if you got enough word in, you don't recognize it right away, but most people know hadn't even heard the word. I mean, they came and gave the hand, came and made the confession in the, before somebody, you know, the preacher, whoever that led them in the sinner's prayer, but they hadn't got a drop of word in it. And that's why I'm teaching. That's why you need to know. So when you find somebody like this, say, baby, let me tell you something. Let me teach you. As a newborn babe, they got to have the sincere milk of the word. That's the only way they're going to grow. But long you let people grow up and you raise your child and never sit down and read the Bible to them and teach the word to them, they can't act no other way. They don't have anything, they don't know anything yet. And you let that cell phone teach them. And they got access to every kind of everything out there on in that world. And then they know how to go and find it and don't even know how to read a verse in the Bible. There's something wrong with that. Something is wrong with that. That's why he said, beware lest any man spoil you. And somebody give you a bunch of philosophy. Something man wrote up, some theories and all this stuff, and don't have an ounce of word in it, an ounce of faith in it. But everybody hollering, amen, yeah, that's right. See, all this stuff, Satan trying to bring in the church and make us accept it as being right and not offending nobody. It's garbage. We don't preach the truth like hate. But we preach the truth in love, but we are flat-footed, stand there, and we'll not compromise the word of God. No, we won't. And see, they want to bring, that's what they're doing. You've got churches now. They want homosexual preacher. They want homosexual usher. They want all this stuff. That if you say anything about gay marriage, you offense it. Well, how many, how can you be so right? And the Bible said, say you shouldn't, a man shouldn't act like a woman and dress himself. And then you're going to act like it and do it anyway. You offensive to the word. You in violation of the word. Because he told you, I made you a male. I knew who you are. I know. When I made you, I made you who you are. Now, why are you trying to change yourself? All you got to do is read the Bible. A man's a man, a woman's a woman. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He made male and he made female. Who did it? God did. You can't create nobody. How many babies have a man had? How many men you know since he changed his sex, he got pregnant? See, you can see those false lies. You see how phony that is? But if I say something, I suppose I'm wrong. I'm wrong. No, I got to tell you the truth because Satan has come to try to divert this gospel and make you accept the lie. And so you can walk around confused in your life, in your mind, in your body, while he make hash meat out of you. That's what he's trying to do. And then when you, and then because the government passed it, the government not the final word. I don't care how big he ran and present himself, that you little peons, y'all ain't got nothing to say in this. God sent us to preach. God, Jesus said to the church, you go in all the world. And what do you preach? Preach what I did, who I am. Hello? Not some theory. Monkey came, a man came from apes and monkeys. And they say when you're dark skinned, you're more closer to a monkey than the. And we sit there and gobble it up. Yeah, I'm a. It would be funny, but it's so silly. My skin just happened to be dark. Skin, you know, you ever notice when you get cut, I don't care what color your skin is, red blood will come out. And the Bible said, from one man and woman came all nation. Adam and Eve were the first two men, people that God put on earth. That's where it came from. And you notice it hadn't changed. God hadn't changed. My, my, my. So, how do we get away from, how do we get past wavering faith? We have to take God at his word. Wow. Wow. We have to take God at his word. Let me do this and close. Give me Mark 9:21, Mark Gospel. Anybody getting any help tonight? I know this is not popular preaching. Probably got a few broken verbs in it. But I promise you one thing. If you'll take what God said and put it to work, it'll work in your life. This is a man, this is when Jesus and took James, John, and Peter up into a mountain of transfiguration. He came out of the mountain, and while he was up there, the other nine was, they brought, this man brought his son to them, and he had a demon in him, and this demon was doing the boy a lot of harm. And they tried to cast him out and he couldn't. How do we get past that wavering faith? How do we get past, how do we overcome that faith won't waver? Let me say this. I told you before, when I was going through my tests, it was hard. I imagine it was hard on that boy to be. Sometime this demon would try to throw him in the fire and burn him up, throw him in the water to drown him. That is not no pretty sight. And wasn't nobody here when I was walking around outside in the building, in here and back in my office and all around. And I got to the, and you hurt so bad and so long. I got to the point I said, because I said this out of my mouth, I don't care. And sometimes looked like it was so bad I was going to clam them wall. Okay. I said, I don't care how bad. I said, I'm not going to change my mind. I'm not going to change what I'm saying. I said, by his stripes, I'm healed. Did I feel any different? Nope. I stood my ground. Can I tell y'all something tonight? I think I told them one in the prayer line, or may have told them both of them. That pain that I went to see, I took an MRI. I'll do this real quick. I went to Sims and Murphy in Memphis. I went twice, took two shots in the back. And when you're hurting, you know, sometimes I could get a BC, it takes a little while. BC worked quicker than other medicine, and it finally get that pain down. But I was going up there, and I wasn't supposed to take anything. You got to ride almost 2 hours, and you just can't just up and take something. And then when you start taking a bunch of medicine, it's going to run your blood pressure up. Now, it's all kind of stuff. But anyway, let me get to the story. Oh. So they gave me the shot, and I waited 3 months later because I was still hurting. And they gave me another shot, and that's when my blood went crazy. Amen. And here's what I'm saying. And I went through all that ordeal, through the treatment and all that. And when I was going through the treatment, the doctor doing the blood disorder and the cancer in the blood, what he said it was, he said, don't do anything, because I was thinking about going to get the operation in my back because it was hurting, man. Y'all hear me? Anybody ever hurt before? Boy, pain can be something, can it? But let me tell you, y'all need to hear this if I hadn't told it. So I got the good report from the doctor that we can't find no cancer in your body. So I went to Dr. Adam, the 31st, my checkup with him. I took another PET TC scan. What I discovered, after all going through all that and getting through it, I discovered my back don't hurt no more. My back is healed. Amen. I used to climb the walls trying to get it to stop. I used to take medicine I can't tell you how many ibuprofen, how many Tylenols, and what the gabapentin I took for that. But it didn't hurt anymore. It's gone. I'm just a heel in my back. It's gone. And everything else trying to mess with my body is gone. Everything else, I'm telling you, listen, young people, you learn this early and walk in it. Develop in your life. I'm telling you, that world's a killer. God's a life giver. Brother Sharon and Steve, y'all better come on, because I'm just getting wound up. I promise you that. But it's 8, my thing's saying 8 o'clock, And y'all, and now y'all saying, let me out the door. My, my, my. My, 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 my. What a mighty God. What an awesome God. And so, listen to me while they're taking it up. See, faith is something you, I'm going to get there. It's something that you receive from the Word. And if you start now, you can build your faith. When when you get to the place where you have strong faith. Strong faith won't waver. Little faith will fold up on you. But strong faith will stand in the face of adversity and say, when the doctor even said, you're not going to make it. Strong faith will say, I shall live and not die. And you don't get strong in faith watching Matlock. I promise you won't. You gotta let go of the past. All the failure, all the stuff you messed up. And you say, Lord, I'm driving a stake right here. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to live from this day forward from here. And you just stand your ground. Hold fast to it. A lot of times it looks like it's not working, it's working then. When it looks like it's not working, it's working. Y'all better stand up. Y'all better stand up. Go ahead and stand up. When it looked like it's not working, it's working. When I was hurting and talking to God and believing God, it looked like it wasn't working, but it was working. Amen. I got the end result. I'm healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. We praise you and we bless you.